This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. Summer is always a quieter time on college campuses. Most students go home for a summer job or take an internship elsewhere. Faculty and staff typically have less to do on campus and might head out of town for a vacation. For 3 months out of the year, the local businesses that profit from the needs and wants of the university community adjust by cutting hours or carefully budgeting the other 9 months. But in the middle of an unprecedented time in Illinois, where the state doesn't have nearly enough money on hand to pay for what it's promised, the future of Illinois public universities is unclear. And as Hannah Meisel found in this week's Illinois Issues In-Depth report, that doesn't leave much wiggle room for those businesses that have built up around the schools.
It's a warm Sunday afternoon in late July on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, and it is quiet. The peace is only briefly disturbed by the occasional car or skateboarder, but there aren't a lot of EIU students around. That may be typical in the summer, but enrollment overall has steadily dropped in recent years. The newest official numbers won't be out for another month. EIU has also laid off 400 faculty and staff in the last 12 months, during which time Illinois was not paying EIU or any public university its normal appropriation due to a historic budget impasse and political fight between Republican Governor Bruce Rauner and Democratic leaders in the legislature. Last month, they managed to compromise on a six-month budget to tide the state over until the November election, when the two parties will fight over several seats in the General Assembly. But for now, even the six-month Band-Aid isn't doing much to quell the anxieties of business owners in Charleston or those near the state's other regional public universities. They're concerned the state's fiscal turmoil could lead to more layoffs and fewer students attending Illinois schools. In other words, a hit to their customer base. About a mile from the heart of campus, Jackson Avenue Coffee has been providing students with their caffeine fix for 14 years. Dan Riebel is the owner, but you can call him Dano.
I've had that nickname for a long time.
Riebel bought the place back in 2010, but he's been a customer since it originally opened in 2002.
Jackson Avenue Coffee is basically my life. I wake up in the morning starting with the Jack, and I go to sleep with the Jack.
The Jack, as locals say, is the main source of income for Riebel and his wife. And over the last 6 years, business has been good. They've been able to plan for downtimes when fewer students are around. Riebel says he normally sees a quarter of his business drop off in the summer, but this year?
This summer, we're at least 50% down in revenues, if not a little more.
And his normal tricks for adjusting to summers, hiring less employees, being smart about ordering, they're not working. Instead, Riebel has done the only thing he can think of, work for free.
If I can save $300 a week in payroll by working myself a lot more, then that's what I had to do. And it's been hard because I have a back injury and such, so it's difficult, but we're making it happen. I mean, we have to. We have no choice.
Riebel says he hates cutting down on payroll hours for student workers, especially ones who are dependent on that income for tuition or rent or groceries. But the shop's electric bill has gone up. He's resorted to training workers on how to conserve as much as possible when making drinks. He has projects that need to be done at home that he just can't afford with this summer's profit margin. It's desperate times, he says.
It's scary. It really is scary.
But Riebel insists he's lucky. He knows there are many EIU students and staff who've had a rougher summer than he has.
I see a lot of people at the store and such that I haven't seen in here in a while, and they've come up and they said, hey, I'm sorry, we don't have the extra funds right now. We miss coming to the Jack. And I understand that. I know that.
This is what University of Illinois economist Jeffrey Hewings calls the ripple effect.
When those businesses receive less revenue, they hire less people. So there's less money circulating within the region. And we put this all together and we call this a ripple, a multiplier effect.
Hewings, who studies regional economies for the Institute of Government and Public Affairs, says that even when a primary source of business recovers, it's the side effects that take much longer to recover.
Whenever you see a downturn in a major economic engine within a community, the ripple effect is usually much, much larger than the direct effects.
Yard signs dot the lawns of many houses near campus, those expressing their love for EIU, and those signs that urge a local Republican state representative, who is personally invested in the local economy, to stand up to Governor Rauner, who's painted as the hostage taker in this narrative. Republican Representative Reggie Phillips lives in Charleston. He and his wife own Unique Homes in Lumber, which runs several apartment buildings catering to EIU students and Lakeland College students in the neighboring city of Mattoon. Phillips didn't respond to multiple requests for comment for this story. As for the governor, Rauner says he is sorry for what is happening to the state's universities and community colleges. Here he is in October at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
You know we've got some financial difficulties. I apologize for that. The university, along with many other great institutions, are suffering as a result. I apologize. We're going to get through this as fast as we can.
Apologies aside, the governor says he will not consider any increased revenue, which the state would need to fund higher education at historical levels, until lawmakers approve key parts of his so-called turnaround agenda. House Speaker Michael Madigan, the Democrat most publicly butting heads with Rauner, has not apologized. Instead, he points the finger at Rauner for interjecting his agenda into the budget debate. Madigan calls the governor's business-friendly anti-union plan extreme. About 200 miles west of EIU is its counterpart for the other half of the state, Western Illinois University, located in Macomb. WIU has been having the same kind of year as Eastern, dipping into its financial reserves to the point of near depletion and laying off faculty and staff where it can. The university has gone through multiple rounds of laying dozens of workers off and then asking them back. But for now, art history professor Sherry Lindquist is in the laid-off camp. Well, sort of. Lindquist is in a gray area. In the spring, in the midst of layoffs and budget uncertainty, Lindquist was told to apply for tenure anyway.
I did apply for tenure. I was granted tenure, but I'm told that I'm still laid off and that I have tenure for 1 year.
So Lindquist will stick around Macomb for one more year while she looks for another job. Western is by far the largest employer in Macomb, and its effects on the surrounding area is noticed by those keeping close tabs. 2,000 fewer people are part of Macomb's workforce since the same time 2 years ago, according to data collected by the Macomb Area Chamber of Commerce. Real estate sales are anemic. Just 16 listings were sold in June. It's up from 12 at the same time last year, but the slowdown, local realtors say, has been palpable. Hugh Wings, the U of I economist, says that if the housing markets in university towns are experiencing a chill, it's likely tied, at least in part, to the state's budget uncertainty.
Do I really want to make an investment in a house, given the state of the economy, given what's happening in Springfield or not happening in Springfield?
But Sherry Lindquist, she's never actually lived in Macomb full-time. Her primary residence is in St. Louis. Her husband and two college-aged kids call that home. Lindquist herself rents a house in Macomb, but she does contribute to the tax base, which has consistently been down thousands of dollars in month-to-month comparisons over the last fiscal year. Lindquist, though worried about her own financial situation, says she's more concerned about the bigger picture of WIU's belt tightening.
It's only for these regional universities who serve largely first-generation students who are being offered this university education light. And I'm particularly invested in this because I am a first-generation college student.
Of Illinois' 12 public colleges and universities navigating the state's budget impasse in the last year, Chicago State University has faced the most treacherous waters. In February, the university announced just a few weeks before its planned spring break that it would have to skip the break in order to keep operating until the end of the school year. It was a move designed to save on utility and maintenance costs, but it also garnered a lot of attention, including from then-Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who held a rally at CSU.
I come here and I find out that this great university is also being threatened with cuts. What is going on in America? Where are our priorities?
Administrators said they were out of options after tapping out reserves and making layoffs. There was even talk of having to close in the fall. In the end, the short-term budget fix the governor and lawmakers passed in June provided 31% funding for most universities, but 60% for Chicago State. Omega Judkins is a 25-year-old student working on her second bachelor's degree in nursing. She dreams of becoming a labor and delivery nurse, and maybe even going on to get her nurse practitioner license.
This is my passion. This is something I love. I eat, breathe, and sleep nursing now.
She had a job at Chicago State as a worker in the dean's office. That's on top of another job in retail and nursing school requirements like clinical training. But then in April, her job with the university was cut. Judkins says the loss of income almost pushed her to the brink.
All this summer, I was trying my best to work as hard as I can to basically come up with like a down payment for school, but it did cross my mind. There was times that I thought about maybe I might have to sit out a year, just work.
But Judkins made it through the summer working her retail job, and she came up with the money for the fall. But her experience this year with state funding has left her feeling doubt about whether she and her fellow students are valued.
I don't believe they really care.
Chicago State serves a largely minority population of students who, like her, have gone back to school.
We're trying. We're trying to get there, and it's like no one can hear us.
Judkins and many thousands of students, faculty, and staff at state universities and colleges will feel the next effects of the state budget fight as legislators attempt to cobble together a budget when the short-term fix runs out in a few months. Chicago Democrat Representative L.G. Sims has been a vocal advocate for Chicago State. He says he's repeatedly asked for what he calls a responsible budget.
It is not based on political ideas or political ideals, but it funds the needs that our government are charged with.
But the timing could make it difficult to put political ideals aside. When the state's leaders come back together to try to find a solution, it will be after an election season that already promises record spending. Private money spent on messaging that players on all sides hope will eventually translate into public money spent on places that need it. Reporting for Illinois Issues, I'm Hannah Meisel.
You can read Hannah Meisel's in-depth report at our website, nprillinois.org.